Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Now the day that he died, the whole world was through with song. Oh, cause he had ruled in the world, oh, for so very long. And the day that he died, his brothers and sisters went soon. There was terror, green, and thee. Passed away that very afternoon. Now love had been put on a cross. Love had been fed on the spine. But somehow, oh God, somehow love not survived. And the day that he died, the day the doves of peace flew over the world, love reigned in the heart. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now love had been stepped on, put down. Love had been sent off to war. But somehow, oh God, somehow love managed to endure. And the day that he died, the day the angels flew by, the only one that went to heaven. Oh, no one, but no one. one went to his funeral. The only one that went to his funeral. Oh, nobody, any place, anywhere went to his funeral. The only one went to his funeral with love. He yelled, oh, sweet love. Nobody gave a damn about hateful love. Nobody said a prayer for hateful love. Nobody, nobody, nobody anywhere. Nobody but love. We love. Yeah, love. I love.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host. I'm here in Los Angeles, here with my buddy, what's his name again? I'm so bad with names. Devin. What's up, Devin?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, thanks for doing this. And we're doing it, not on a Tuesday night. And we are doing, a tribute. That's what this episode will be, is pretty much a tribute to, Avalanche Bob. You know this caller, Avalanche Bob. He's been calling the new version of the best show, and he's been really pretty much a kind of a character that would call and do his thing, his snowboard yodeling, and talk about all his goals and his artistic dreams and all the stuff. And he really was a character. And an artist and a true original. And he died a week or so ago. And so we are going to, honor Avalanche Bob tonight. And do we have, the other side of the country? Are they there?
Yeah, let's bring him up.
I sure am. I'm joined.
Now, who is that?
My name is Pat.
That's Pat. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom? And can you hear me all right?
I can hear you all right, and I'm good.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to introduce across from me in our Jersey City studio, as always, is AP Mike.
Of course. How are you, Mike?
I'm good.
Jeez.
And I'm also
low energy. Low energy there, huh, Mike?
Well,
I'm in mourning.
Yeah, commemorate
yeah,
a friend.
Yeah, sure. Pass. Blame it on mourning. I don't buy that, but I'm going to allow it, Mike.
And we are also here tonight with someone who personally knew Bob, someone who personally helped that artistic vision see some light, and that is Owen Klein is here. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You and I have never actually met.
No, we haven't.
Face to face, we've emailed.
A bit. Yeah.
And one of the first things you emailed me was a thing saying, oh, wait, no, this is how it all started.
Okay.
A guy named Avalanche Bob started calling the show. And then he was like a character on the show. And people were just like, where on earth did this guy come from? And then I was working with your sister.
Right.
Your sister who, her name is Greta, and she's a rock star, right?
Yeah.
And she, is in a band called Frankie Cosmos.
Which is also her name.
What's that?
I guess that's also her name. I don't know.
Sure.
Or I guess she's, I don't know, she's Frankie Cosmos as well.
Yeah. Okay. Know. Sure. What? She's Frankie Cosmos and yes.
The band is also, yeah. Whatever.
Yes, exactly. So then, she said to me, hey, I just want to, I was going to direct a video for them. And then she said, hey, just want to let you know there's, something before we go forward, just so you know it. And I'm like, all right, what's this going to be? And then she says to me, my brother, Owen, is the guy who told Avalanche Bob to start calling the best show. And I was like, what? Like, where, like, I could not have, that was a curveball, I guess.
Could you direct after that?
Was I able to direct? I barely pulled it together after that. And I said to myself, oh my goodness. And then I said to myself, well, isn't the world just a weird place that this is how this goes down? And now I know who sent Avalanche Bob my way.
The Barnum and Bailey world.
So, Owen.
Yes.
You are a talented young artist, filmmaker person, right?
Yeah, but I was also Bob's manager.
Yeah. So let's get some context for that. Then I'll play one of Bob's calls. Oh, we heard to start the show, I played music, his song The Day That Hate Died, from his album High Power, Snow Power, To the Stars. Right?
Protect the Earth.
More, yeah.
So, yes, it's a long one.
Yeah.
That's how they abridge it, though.
Yes. And that was a song he seemed to be proud of, that particular one. He would call up and he'd always talk about The Day That Hate Died, or he would perform part of it, and it seemed like a song that he was important to him.
This is what I wonder, and I think maybe you might have more insight than I do in this. Do you think that when he was calling up and doing the same songs like that over and over again, that, you know, he figured it was more of a terrestrial radio kind of thing, and that, you know, he's just different listeners every week? Because I think he had very little idea of what the best show even was. Frankly,
very little idea. I would say that's the most generous. he would call in.
First caller.
He thought your name was Tom Chaplin.
Thought it was Tom Chaplin. Yeah, he would call in, and you could first call because he's clearly trying to just get on with his life, and he also was not a young guy. Right? How old was Bob? Do we have any idea?
I've yet to figure it out because he's sort of been evasive about his age, but I think in the ballpark of 86 or 87.
Wow, that's impressive. He was because he was still doing it, still being like a maniac.
Yeah. And do you think when he'd call in that he was just repeating himself and didn't realize it, that he was singing the same songs, or was it?
No,
was it,
I think he was branding.
He was just branding.
I don't think he did the same song twice. I mean, it was, to me, he was just improvising every time. You know, I never got the sense that, oh, I heard this before.
I can verify that there was plenty of repeats.
Well, really? Okay. I mean, you know.
I mean, I know his repertoire, and he claims that he always claimed it was 200 songs about snow. But I think this is something he learned from Joe Franklin, who used to proclaim that it was 500,000 guests on the Joe Franklin show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he'd proclaim whatever his claim was. He has 300 songs about snowboarding. I think it's only maybe 15.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, so you. To give some context, so this, he would call up, and sometimes you could hear the television on in the background.
Yeah, sometimes he called you Mike.
He would call me Mike. It took him forever to realize who Dudio was, and that truly irked Jason.
Infuriated.
That he would say Tom, and then he started talking about Mike, then Tom and Mike, then he would mention Pat.
Then he started calling my show on WFMU.
Yeah.
And then he really knew who I was.
Yeah. Then finally, he admitted, not admitted, it wasn't like he was, he finally added Dudio to the mix, and that was nice. So he would call up, and you could hear like Blue Bloods or something in the background on television. He clearly was just trying to get back to his TV shows.
It's literally in one of the calls that I pulled, is you saying, what do you got in the background, Blue Blood?
Yeah.
I tried to get him to turn it down. I think he would turn it down and then turn it back up when it was on hold.
He was really into Orville.
The Orville?
Orville's science fiction show?
He liked the Orville a lot.
Yeah.
So, I'm watching Orville, man. You got to check this out.
So here's how it went down. Owen, a young guy, and Mike, you're not going to believe that kid sitting in the studio across from you, Mike.
Yeah.
You ever see the movie he was in? Or I just want to say, look, Owen, you got to let this slide right now.
All right, yeah, hit me. No, I don't know the movie.
Oh, Mike.
Maybe I did see it.
Mike, that young man created one of the most memorable moments in cinema history that could not be more up your alley.
Thank you.
Did you ever see The Squid and the Whale, Mike?
I did see it a while ago.
Well, he played the younger brother. He's the younger brother.
Oh, okay.
I was the younger brother.
The one who had his library hijinks.
Okay. Yep.
I guess that's the best way to put it. You know, those fun hijinks in the library.
Yeah. And those books, yeah, I spread, you know, something on books. And those books were library books, and we hid that from the library. The movie was kind of run and gun. And, yeah, those were not our books.
Those were not your books. Well, I guess they were definitely yours afterwards.
Yeah, they're mine forever, yeah.
Yes. There's a part of you on those books that will live, outlive all of us. That's not what we're here to talk about, though.
No.
So
we're here to talk about other weird stuff.
Yeah, so you, Owen Klein, you were working on something about Joe Franklin?
Yeah, I made a short film starring Joe Franklin. It was about Joe Franklin raising a baby. It was a couple of years ago.
And for people who don't know, or maybe it's a slightly more regional thing than...
Yeah.
Joe Franklin was a talk show host who was on Channel 9. He was around forever. He was a guy who would just do his show. He would talk to old celebrities and talk all about the yesteryear and all that stuff with these old movies.
He coined the term memory lane.
He coined the term memory lane, that you'd take a walk down.
According to him.
According to him. He was maybe a bit of a fabulist also.
Mm.
Is that fair to say, Owen?
That's very fair to say.
He would hype himself. Now, Devin, do you know who Joe Franklin is?
Yeah, absolutely. Specifically from, I think, the first time, because I'm not a New York person, the first time I heard of him was from the They Might Be Giants documentary.
Okay.
He had a big hand in getting them on TV for the first time, is what I remember.
And Billy Crystal used to do a Joe Franklin impression.
Yeah.
And so, Owen, you're making a documentary about, not a documentary, you're making a film where Joe Franklin has a baby.
Yes.
And tell us how.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Oh.
Just tell us how Bob enters your universe.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time in Joe Franklin's. He had sort of a legendary office in Times Square, and a lot of weirdos would come in, show business, adjacent people. And he would just have this phone ringing off the hook all the time. Just people trying to bug him. He would constantly be picking up and saying, to dodge the people that he didn't want to speak to, his line was, good news tomorrow, 1 o'clock. And then you'd hang up, and, you know, if someone was new to the office, they'd say, well, what's the good news? There is no good news. And this was what he did to Bob every single day, you know. He just thoroughly was able to dodge this guy, you know, unlike you, unlike me. And... For the film, we needed to cast a variety of performers for, you know, this kid's birthday that he throws. And he goes, I asked him for some contributions. I was just trying to pull people that I knew. He said, I have a guy that calls me. He's a yodeler. So the yodeler, and then he's like, yeah, he'll call me at some point today. So then he called, and he, you know, puts me on the phone with him, and he started doing what, you know, that, you know, the legendary, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, it was hysterical, and we got him in, and, you know, he had to give you know, I was the one, it was a small film, I was the one coordinating it, so Bob had to get my cell phone number, and then the call started coming in, and eventually I felt too bad to not pick up, so I'm talking to this guy, next thing I know, he's calling me his manager, and the next thing I know, I give him your number, and the rest is history.
So you start talking to him, because he did his rack-a-buck-a-buck-a, like that,
yeah.
The yodeling thing, and then he suddenly just starts saying, Owen, you're my manager.
Yeah, Joe Franklin was my manager, and now you're my manager.
And Joe Franklin passed away?
So the torch was passed.
That's how you inherited the job.
Basically.
So what? How long were you his manager, Owen?
Geez, I guess this would have been shot the movie in 2014, I believe. So I would say maybe starting early 2015, I was his manager. So that's
a good almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Is this film online anywhere? Can we see it?
I did. I put it up on Vimeo.
Okay.
So it is online now, so you can see it.
So if we're on Vimeo, what do we search?
Jazzy for Joe is the name for it.
Jazzy for Joe. Okay. Yeah. So everybody could check that out. That's awesome.
And now they can see a younger Avalanche Bob.
That's right.
And so you were his manager. What did that entail, being his manager?
Picking up the phone, saying things are going to happen. Yeah, man, things are really happening, you know. And occasionally booking him something.
Mm-hmm.
And playing as his drummer and putting together, we put a record together 2 years ago now.
And that's the one high power, snow power. Yes. And that, so he wanted to do an album?
He very much wanted to do an album. But, I mean, you know, he thought that he was in, it wasn't just an album. You know, it was a whole empire that he was trying to start. It
mm-hmm.
was Snow Power Productions, and it was, you know, he thought it could be as big as the WWE. You know, he thought mm-hmm. that there could sort of be snowboard wrestling and dance stops. He would talk about the dance stops.
What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. The dance stops, I think, were, you know, I'm not going to do it very much justice, but I believe it was some place where you could go and do these snowboard dances, you know, and people
okay.
could snowboard outside and, you know, be in the mountains. And, yeah, the snowboard break and the snowboard twist, all these different kind of Chubby Checker-esque patented
mm-hmm.
dances that he was coming up with, but never showed me.
And this, he was not new to recording, though, when you had, when with this album. He had put a single out, like, in the early 60s, right?
1959.
Cool Records, Harrison, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, and I don't remember the name of the guy, but he would always mention him in calls. If Tom brought it up, or one or two times, you know, we brought it up. I forget the guy's name, but the guy who ran Cool Records, who he attributes to being his first manager, he mentions by name. And I pulled a bunch of calls. If we don't get to them tonight, I could put them in like a best show best or something. But he does mention the story a little bit in detail. Tom asked him about this back in 2016, and you guys had a lengthy conversation about it. And then the Best Show crew asked him about it back in February.
Hmm.
And that was also the first time he called and acknowledged Jason by name, knew him both by the nickname and by his given name.
I do have a photo of him and his manager, which is kind of incredible, and he's holding up the cool
Yeah,
list.
Yeah.
And
your record, Owen, is the first time that Bob, in his life, had recorded music since 1959, I think.
He had a weird guy named Joe that ghosted him that recorded a couple of tracks.
Is that right?
But before me, but... Yeah, those you can find it on YouTube. They're somewhere up there, but you
okay.
know that they were a little jokey. I was trying to do,
but this
it
was like a release, and it was mixed and
yeah.
Is,
yeah,
I mean,
we mixed it, and it's this great musician Sam Cogan. I wrangled him in to do it, and he did a great job. And he was just very respectful. You know, he didn't try to play it jokey.
Mm-hmm.
Did it very straight. I was trying to think of, like, you know, those Tiny Tim records with the Wrecking Crew, where it's just, you know, they just played so loyally.
Yeah.
Those old songs.
Oh,
I thought,
yeah,
thought
no,
it was great.
Absolutely. I agree with Pat. The record is everybody's doing it. It's not like it's not like he's not in on a part of it or something. It's the record is pretty, pretty respectful of the guy, and it's makes us, it legitimizes what he was trying to do in terms of showing that these songs actually make sense with a band behind them.
Well, here's what's interesting. Bob, you know, most of the music you've heard of Bob on the radio is just him calling in a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
And I played drums with him. I'd get people, you know, to come in and play things when we'd throw a show. But yeah. Bob had absolutely no sense of timing or rhythm with a band.
Okay.
And you could rehearse a song six times,
uh-huh.
and it wouldn't get any better. When we did the record, there was no way I was going to assemble a band, try to get people in there, a bunch of frustrated musicians, to try to play along with Bob and get him to do anything in time or, you know, in the ballpark of right.
Yeah.
So we recorded his vocals, and then Sam was tasked with the very difficult task of trying to write drum parts around this guy's time.
Mm-hmm.
So the record is, the time on all of those songs is really wonky, you know, way beyond math rock, way beyond any bizarre time signature you could invent.
If we go back to his 1959 yodeling rock song, it's the same way. You can hear the band trying to keep up with him and vice versa in that song, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have a little more control, you know, doing it afterwards, but
mm-hmm.
right.
So the record was kind of built around the performance he gave.
Exactly.
Now, do we have his do I have his record, his first record with all these clips and things that Jason and Pat
put together? The record you'll have to pull up on Avalanche Bob Bandcamp page, but we have his original single and those clips from 1959.
Yeah, let's play that. Let's hear what that and what's that called now? I'm looking at all the clips.
That is called Rockabilly Yodel.
Rockabilly Yodel. Rockabilly, there it is. Bob Cribby, Avalanche Bob. Let's take a listen. What we'll do is I'm going to play the record that was the first record he did called Rockabilly Yodel back in 1959 under the name Bob Cribby. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we'll hear that, and then we will also hear his first call to the Best Show. How about that? And then we'll come back. We'll take some calls and keep talking. So let's listen now to Avalanche Bob's first record, because Avalanche Bob, we're doing a show where we're talking about Avalanche Bob, who passed away a week or so ago, and we have Pat is in studio, and AP Mike is there, and we also have Owen Klein, who is was a friend of Bob's and was his manager and producer, and we're all just talking about the life Avalanche Bob led, and let's hear something from him, Rockabilly Yodel.
It's the Rockabilly Yodel and it's on its way. Some cats way down in a Texas town thought they heard a new kind of sound. They heard a cowpoke yodeling one day, but gave it a beat and sat it on its way. Now it's a moving right along, the whole country swinging to a yodeling song. Bop-a-dee-da-lay, yodel-lay, bop-a-dee-da-lay, yodel-lay, be bop-a-lay, be bop-a-lay, it's the Rockabilly Yodel and it's on its way. When my buddy heard it one fine night, man, that cat got a real delight. He started rocking, so they say, did it stop until the break of day. Well, they're moving it, grooving it all night long. Whole country swinging to a yodeling song. Hey! When my
gal heard you said, let's go, son. We're gonna go and have some fun. Down where the jukebox is down and away. Me and my baby, we rocked all the day to the rockabilly yodel and grain and sound. It's the rockabilly yodel and glad it's around. Bop a dee da lay, yodel lay, yeah. Bop a dee da lay, yodel lay, yeah. Be bop a lay, oh, be bop a lay, yeah. It's the rockabilly yodel and it's on its way. Now you've heard my story and you've heard my song. So buy this direction and move it along. Get your baby out of a ball tonight. Come along, say if I ain't rock, they're rocking, they're rolling it wherever you go. The rockabilly yodel, everything you know. Bop a dee da lay, yodel lay, yeah. 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 Bop a dee da lay, yodel lay.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Well, who's this?
Hey, I'm a singer. My name is Robert Kirby. I'm an older guy, but I go by the name of Avalanche Bob 33. I have created a whole new music around snowboarding. I have updated the yodel to the year 21st century, and it's completely different from anything out there today. And I thought Kid Chris and WBEN Radio in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He's played my music on the air.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jamaica, Queens.
Okay. And what's your name again?
My name is Robert Creed, but I go by the name of Avalanche Bob 33. And I'm getting a new band together now. We're going to call it Avalanche and the Avalanche Bob and the Snowboard Moguls. And we hope to get in a club in New York. I've already talked to a guy,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty exciting. And I just thought I'd give you a call and see, you know, if you could help me in some way, you know?
Avalanche Bob 33.
Right.
And your music
and
is what?
Too.
Your music
AvalancheBob33.com.
AvalancheBob33.com. That's the website.
Yeah, man, yeah. The first music I got in there is not the best because I don't have a lot of money. But the music I hope to get in the future is really going to be sensational because I'm not liking it. I do something called yodel and punk. I updated the yodel.
And how would you describe your like who does it sound like?
It's a whole nobody. I don't sound like Elvis says. I don't sound like nobody.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like anybody else in the biz.
Anybody anywhere? No. You want to hear a little bit of yodel and punk?
I would love to hear some.
That's yodel and punk. And then the snowboard music is around that. One of the snowboard songs go like, punk and snow, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. Rolling it over on a shotgun roll, everywhere you go, they're punk in the snow. People in Chicago, up in the daily, bop in the daily, people in Chicago, are you ready up in the daily, bop in the daily, people in Boston, are you ready up in the daily, bop, people in New York City, are you ready up in the daily, bop in the daily, like I did the punk, like I did the punk, bop in the daily, yeah, punk in the snow. That's one of my snowboard songs.
Are you a snowboarder, Bob?
No, I just love this. I got this idea. Originally, I wrote the music around skiing. Then the snowboarding came along. I created a whole new music around snowboarding. It's completely different from anything out there today. And somebody told me this could be the biggest thing since the surfing music of the 70s or 60s. And I've got, you know, pretty good things, you know.
And, like, where have you played, Bob? Like, what kind of...
Where have I played? I'll tell you, it's a long story. For a long time, I had to give my music. My sister was sick. I had to take care of her. And I played in different clubs and stuff. I played in New York in different places. I just did a show a couple of weeks ago in Room 53, where I hope to get this music in with my band and a couple of other bands doing snowboard music. And it looks pretty exciting, and the guy really likes me there, and he thought I was terrific. What I did, my manager passed away. His name was Joe Franklin, and Joe got me on Jimmy Kimmel Show years back, and I was supposed to go back with Sean White, the snowboarder, but it never happened because the guy that the show that got me on. And
not the Joe Franklin.
You know, you've heard of Joe Franklin?
The talk show host?
Yeah, that's the guy. He was 100,000 behind my music, yeah.
He was your manager?
Yeah, he acted like a manager for me, yeah. And he was
okay.
The thing is, before he passed away, I was supposed to sign a major contract, and then he passed away, and I never got to go with the people I was supposed to go with.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I would love to hear more of your music, Avalanche
Great.
Bob.
Yeah. Want to hear some more?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do you have like full band versions of these things, or are they just you?
No,
acapella?
I got a new band together now. We're going to start playing, start rehearsing next week. But the music I got now is on the AvalancheBob33.com. My Christmas song is on there, Jingle Bell Yodel, which WCBS FM played a couple of years back, and I have my other snowboard music on there. Yeah.
Now, when CBS FM played it, was it like a part of like the news or like the music?
At that time, they were very open. They were playing everything. Broadway Bill Lee played my song. They loved it. He loved the song, and I got a lot of reaction. I went back to America as talent. I got on the show, and they ran out of time. So that's the story. I've got been close for a lot of times, and a lot of things have gone wrong. You know.
Well, look, all you can do, Bob, is to just you hang in there. You do it, and you love the music, right? You love making the music,
right?
So you do it for the love of the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When you get some recordings down, and you got something for me to play, drop me a line. And we'll check it out.
Okay, if you want to check out my website and give me a call, 718.
Okay, don't give your number. No, don't give your number over the show. Don't give your number over the air. Don't give your number.
If you want to contact me, it's avalanchebob33.com, and that's my website, avalanchebob33.com. My website is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, so people can check you out, but they go to avalanchebob33.com.
That's where you find my music. And then my email address is robert.cribby@yahoo.com.
Okay, people can check it out. And Bob, I look forward to hearing some of your stuff.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot, man.
You have a great night.
You too, man. Keep rocking.
You too. Okay. The best show, signing off for tonight.
All right.
Signing
okay.
off forever, actually. The purpose.
What a jerk. No! Very... Hey, it's Tom. I'm here. We're doing the best show here, recorded on a Monday night, not on Tuesday. And we, our friend Avalanche Bob, who would call the show, most weeks, he passed away a week ago. And so we're kind of doing a special show honoring him. I'm in Los Angeles. Got AP Mike and Pat. In New Jersey, and got Owen Klein, who worked with Bob on a few different things, and everybody's there, and we're here. You hear that first clip? That's the first time Bob called in, and that was
2015,
and he mentioned Kid Chris, who is a Cleveland DJ or something.
Yes, I actually tweeted at him today and gave him the Earwolf number, so maybe he'll call us about his experiences.
I don't want to hear from Kid Chris. Kid Chris is, you listen to these Bruce Springsteen shows from 78, and he's like, "We're here in Cleveland, got Kid Chris."
Oh, he's on that thing? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, back then, Kid Chris was a kid.
Yeah.
But now, look, he's welcome to call in, but it's not, it's, you let him do his own tribute to Bob. I don't want him glomming on mine. So when you hear that first call, Mike, what do you think? What memories do you have?
Yeah, he was one of my favorites, I have to say. You know, he was an early caller, sometimes 10 minutes before the show started. He would have the television blaring in the background. I tell him to turn it down, but, yeah, I'm sure as soon as I put him on hold, he'd turn it back up. And as time went along, you know, he became a controversial figure. Let's put it that way.
Some people weren't always into it.
No. I liked it because it was, you didn't know what was going to happen. I like introducing a little chaos to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it off. You know, I would like, you know, your reactions. You know, you generally were good with him. And you never knew where the call would go. So I never had a problem putting him through.
No.
People were talking about, you know, how after a period of time, you know, you would ask me, is it a good call for me or a good call for you? And generally Bob's call started to be just a good call for me.
Yeah, because it was hard. Look, I like the guy. Of course, I think I would hope it would be clear I like the guy, because if I didn't, he actually wouldn't get through.
Oh, yeah. But he ran hot.
He was,
you know, some callers run hot. You know, they want to call every week. And, you know, I had to cool him down, mm-hmm. You know. You know, we want a little variety. You know, there's no schedule on the best show.
The cooler. Here comes AP Mike. Cooling people down. Right.
He was a hard guy to talk to on the phone nearly every day, I think, because I couldn't tell what degree of it was that he had very short attention span, first of all. He also couldn't hear very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he could hear you, I think he would just zone out. I think he was just thinking about, you know, snowboarding, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing his mind.
Yeah, and so... What would a call, Mike, a call would be like the phone would ring at 8:55.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes earlier.
Yeah, okay. Gonna really get into the minutia of it? Fine, 8:50, 8:52. Is that better?
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better?
It does.
And it actually does make him feel better.
Yeah.
I can't win.
Job.
He is doing it.
Before the show starts.
Doing it.
I'm on the job.
Yeah. Boy, really? So I didn't realize you were watching the clock so much on this show, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, guy called a whole 5 minutes early. You're already griping about it? Yeah.
Clocking in early.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you want, time and a half? Is that what you're looking for? Just say it.
Yeah. I'm angling.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm angling.
Yeah, guy calls at 8:52. Guy's 85 years old. He's calling the show to participate. He calls a few minutes early. Mike, and then Mike's keeping
in.
Score. Mike's
haven't
keeping score.
In yet.
Yeah. No, Mike hasn't clocked in yet. He's still hovering. He's hovering in front of the punch.
People don't know that about the show, that there is a time clock that we
Yeah, they on. Don't know. Yeah. Mike's got his little time card. He's hovering near it. He doesn't want to punch in yet.
He's a clock watcher.
He's a clock watcher. I'm realizing this, and it's not a good look, Mike, to be a clock watcher. So you had to sit in your chair, press two buttons, talk to the guy, put him on hold, not tell me who it is.
Well, after a while, we recognized the area code. I think you would even acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Because you saw the area code, you knew.
Yeah,
who was on
I had a good feeling. See, that's 718. He almost gave his number out on that first show. That's so sweet, and just he seems like a charming oddball, which. I don't say that with anything other than love.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope people maybe consider me a charming oddball.
Me as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're doing and this guy.
I wish he was alive because I.
Yeah, so do
know,
I.
My little tribute.
Think anybody doesn't?
No, but has anybody seen an obituary? Tom, I've had an experience where, in a bar now, where people have told me somebody was dead.
Yeah.
And then several months later, they walk into the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced a resurrection in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled a guy out of his apartment. He was diabetic. He went into a diabetic coma. They pulled him out of his apartment on a stretcher. And everybody, and this was right across the street from the bar I was working at.
Yeah.
Not masses. And everybody wrote him up. Everybody wrote him off. This guy is dead. He died. You know, I saw the sheet over his head. And like I said, several months later, everybody's looking for his obituary.
Mm-hmm.
The obituary never appeared.
Yeah.
And one day, several months later, he walks through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down on my knees. And I said, he is risen.
There we go.
This guy rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Well, far.
Thanks for that touching story.
So I'm looking forward to the day. Possibly.
You realize what a tribute. Future. You realize how tributes generally work, Mike.
Yeah. But I haven't lost hope.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're taking
an obituary.
You're really taking the scenic route on this one.
If I see 718 flash up on the board,
yeah,
you know, my heart is going to jump.
Yeah.
And
you know,
gonna...
you might want to get that in check, because 718 is also the area code for Brooklyn.
Mike. Queens,
yeah. Queens, I think.
And for a lot of New York.
Queens, yeah, a lot of New York, though.
Yeah.
So
I can tell it. Oh, sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're doing this. But look, Mike, you know I'm giving you the business. And secondly, Mike, I'll say this. You want me to write your obituary? You just
cool.
Say the word. You say the word, Mike.
That'd be a great show.
Oh, what I meant to say, and I wish I could have passed this.
I already picked. I just want to say, Mike, one other thing. I picked out a tombstone for you already.
Oh, yeah?
It's in the shape of a fun pack.
Yeah.
And it's got stuff on both sides.
Two-sided tombstone.
Yeah, it's a rare two-sided tombstone.
Yeah, you don't see too many of those.
No, you're not. Unfortunately, you're not going to see this one either.
What's the epitaph
for Mike?
More fun for your dollar.
Yeah, it'll say more fun for your dollar in quotes. It'll say life is like a fun pack. It's good on both ends. You don't know what you're going to get in the middle.
There you go. Yeah.
AP Mike in the Forrest Gump reboot.
Yeah.
Life is like a fun pack.
But anyway, the information...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, by all means, I'm so sorry, Mike. I mean to slow you down there while I was in the middle of making jokes.
What I found out, I posted one tribute to Bob on Twitter and one on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably noticed this, that when you mention somebody has passed away, died, croaked, kicked a bucket, it goes right to the top of the algorithm for people, your friends, on Facebook, Twitter. I think more eyes see the post if you mention somebody has died. And I got more likes on the Avalanche Bob post, more retweets, likes on Twitter than any other post I've ever posted.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
that's nice.
Over 500 people on Facebook.
Well, I can tell you he would be delighted, because he was obsessed with his any time he did the show. I don't think he would listen to the episodes afterwards. He would just... I taught him how to search his name into Twitter. He'd always do. He'd check his tweets to see what people said about the episodes. And it was such an outpour afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish he would have lived so I could have passed this information on to him, to just every post, put in the post something like, every day I die a little, and then, you know, put his plug in there, where he'll be appearing. But it would rise to the top of every feed on Facebook or Twitter. He'd get the maximum... viewage of his people, and it could have helped his career. It saddens me that I wasn't able to pass this information on to him.
Sure.
Are there any calls, Tom?
Well, yes, I believe there are. Let's take a couple calls. And I'm here with engineer. Well, I'm here with Devin. He's not engineer, Devin. They always do that to engineers. Always like, engineer Keith.
I'll answer to it.
Engineer the. No, you don't answer to it. You don't answer to it. You do what you want, Devin. Your name's Devin, for goodness sake.
That's true.
Thank you. Now, Mike. Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot.
You getting pumped for Irishman 2?
Yeah. Have you seen it yet, Tom?
Not yet. All right, let's take a call. Best Show, hi. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
I'm good. Can you say something, sir? Caller? Can't hear them. Oh, this is bad. This is so bad.
We had them for a second.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Let's
try someone else. I like Devin. I like the way he's positive and he keeps things going. A lot could, not Pat, though. And you could learn a couple things from Devin. It doesn't kill you to have a positive attitude. You think he's clock watching? He probably is, actually. I think I know the answer.
No.
So, do we have a call?
No, I think maybe because we were inactive in here for a little bit.
Okay.
People drop. But if you want to press people on Twitter again, they can reach.
Sure. Let's do that. Okay.
I could post from the Best Show.
Yeah, if you post from the Best Show, that'd be great. So, Owen Klein.
Yes.
Do you know Bob Avalanche Bob's timeline? Because he made this record in 59. And then what was his life?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was just talking with Pat earlier saying that, you know, I wish I had written down all the little bits and scraps of biographical information I have of him. He was born in upstate New York and raised there, I believe, and came to the big city young, full of hopes and dreams, and apparently got hooked up with Tony Bennett's manager. You know, I'm sure it was Tony Bennett's first manager, or, you know, someone minor. And a lot of things went wrong, as he likes to say. I think there was a woman in his life, but he, you know, he was more focused on the music and weeded them all out. And I don't know. I mean, I really only have a vague sense. I know he was, you know, he got that cool he had a manager that got him the Cool Records deal. He was the only other friend of his on Cool Records was a guy named George Korda Jr., who did a couple of discs for Cool and was a rodeo guy as his main job. And I think he had jobs as he worked in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I think he worked at a truck stop in some capacity. I there's not that much.
Yeah.
I don't think he remembered much.
No, but so even if I ask you, like, you don't know what he did in the 70s, for example.
I mean, probably nothing. You know, I think he was probably, he said he played a couple shows back then, and I think he's plugged away at sort of the same rate and at the same level of show business as he's been at for quite mm-hmm. a while.
Sure. And he was really, do you feel that he was happy with things? Like, was he always optimistic the way he seemed to be?
He was always optimistic, but I mean, I you could probably tell this. I think he was someone that, he was never satisfied. You could tell him that, you know, the President of the United States, you know, heard the record and loved it, and for a minute he'd be like, oh my God! And when he did that sound, I'm sure he did on the show plenty.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound genuine. It sounded feigned. And then he'd be like, so, when can you do this thing for me? And mm-hmm. it lasted about 5 seconds. But
He was optimistic. He was really spiritual. The last couple calls, he kept calling me and telling me he'd seen the Ken Burns country documentary, and he was convinced that he was Jimmy Rogers reincarnated, and that I was his brother Will Rogers. And I don't know. I didn't look too far into it to see, you know, if there were anything, if I could connect to Will or Jimmy or see a parallel there, but he certainly did. And
yeah.
Could I just say there are worse perspectives on life than thinking you're the
reincarnation.
Reincarnated Jimmy Rogers and the brother Will Rogers. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Most people don't have anything like that when they're that age.
I could only
hope I'm at that place.
He was obsessed with science fiction and aliens, and whenever I'd see him, he would always pull out his phone showing me his Twitter, and he'd followed a bunch of people who claimed to be aliens on Twitter and would show me their accounts and say that he connected with this alien and this is the language it speaks, and he was really into all that stuff, and really he listened to all these late night, all those weird
coast to coast.
Yes. Coast to coast, yeah.
Exactly.
There's a couple of clips where he gets spiritual, and there's one where he even starts talking paranormal with Tom. That we also have pulled, but in his last call ever to this studio, to thebestshow.net, was to Mike and myself in, it was October 22nd, it was just a little over a month ago, and he talked about spirituality in that call. He talked about, you know, he was just, do you remember this, Mike? He was just saying, like, he's like, I'm just doing what God told me to do. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can do, and I'm just, you know, I'm just rolling with, he said, like, I roll with the punches and blows, and wherever it sets me, that's where God wants me to be, or something like that. It was a very simple call, and it was very kind of like, you know, when I was editing and pulling these clips, I was like, wow, this is actually, like, his last call is kind of beautiful in that way.
Well, he used to tell me about, after a surgery that he had, that there were these little elves. I'm not kidding you. About that sort of started to follow him around. He had seen these things, and at first they were ghosts, and then they sort of became little elves that he talked to and had relations with.
Okay, so he had connection to elves, and like he that stuff. Do you think he was being literal when he said things like that?
Well, you know, I think he didn't know if they were in his imagination or he had a very rich imagination.
Sure,
I think,
sure.
You know, he didn't really. He was pretty spaced out and didn't really live in the real world in a real way. But.
Yeah, he was a weirdo, a New York weirdo,
and a dreamer.
A dreamer, not one. I'm saying this because I first of all, those are the people you got to love in life. The people who'd you rather be? This dude, he's in his 80s. And he's still doing a thing where he's going bonkers and he's yodeling and singing all about snowboards and having the time of his life, or what the alternative?
Yeah.
And there's people that are in their 30s who are doing less creative stuff than this guy was.
Me.
Yeah, he's got you beat.
I'm in a complete creative slump, and this guy. I think about Avalanche Bob. That was like, you know, after processing that he was actually gone and would no longer be a part of the show, and, you know, I had met them. I had met him the night that I met you, Owen, and, you know, I'll talk about that later. But
yeah, you got to see him perform.
Absolutely. I got to
not a lot of people
technically
did.
Be on the same bill as him, which was even greater. But, you know, but what I take back from knowing him through this show is that just, like, unparalleled optimism and excitement.
Yeah.
No one else had.
Yeah.
I think I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the level that he thought that this thing was going to take off, he said, I remember the day that he called me and said that Paul McCartney reached out to him via Twitter and that I think he wants to do a collaboration with me. And I went on Twitter and it was he had tweeted about 10 tweets to someone named @PaulMcCartney without an E and an R.
Mm-hmm.
and
or maybe one of the fake
queens.
Ones. Yeah, there's probably hundreds of fake Paul McCartney.
I can't believe I'm following you. Blah blah blah. And he was kept calling him when he pronounces things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Kept calling. You're not gonna believe me, Paul McCartney. He's calling me and the Twitter, and he wants to do a collaboration. And I checked online, and the tweet that Paul McCartney sent out was a fan account that said, "Thank you for following and subscribing." And but he really thought this was going to take off.
Like he was really ready for the next thing. He was always ready for the next thing.
He thought he would be number one on the charts.
Yeah.
Till the day he died, he knew that that day his moment was coming, and it was just around the corner. Always.
Well, let's take a call. Let's take a call. We got Devin, not just engineer. He's got so many other interests in just other than just engineering.
It's kind of you to say. We're having a little technical issue. I see someone tweeting that they're getting a weird skipping noise when they call in. So we're troubleshooting. That's fine.
Look, we don't have to take calls. If it's a thing, we don't have to take them. I can talk all day long. In fact, Pat.
Yes.
We mentioned the final call.
Yes.
What was another good one here that I have that would be?
Sure. Stand by one moment. So.
Tom gives Bob a pep talk.
There's a whole bunch of really great ones.
I picked out a favorite of mine.
What's that, Mike?
We discussed it earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Tom, we're all, well, at least I'm all a little nervous to bring this up to you, but the room I'm in has definitely unanimously stated that they have a favorite call that's in this corral of calls that Jason Gore and myself have pulled.
And what call is that?
Well, it has a bad word in it.
I don't care.
It starts with P.
What do I care?
Bad word.
And
I don't care. No, that was hilarious.
It's found in nature.
Okay.
All right, calm down, Mike. Calm down, Larry Flint.
So that one is listed as
Mike's favorite.
That's not listed as Mike's favorite. No, it's looking at the list right now.
I can't handle Mike anymore. I can't handle Mike. He's talking. He goes, does a eulogy, ends up talking about some guy at the bar. Shows up. They throw a sheet on him.
That was intense.
I can't get a handle on it, Pat.
I know.
Pat, right? I can't get a handle on it. I don't know what the aesthetic is anymore.
It's labeled as Bob's Red Bull commercial.
Bob's Red Bull commercial. I have that. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to play that in a second, and we're just talking about Avalanche Bob, the late great Avalanche Bob, who he passed away. Wait, how long is this thing? 11
minutes. One of the longer ones. Yeah, it's one of the longer ones.
Well, let's play it, and then we'll talk more with Owen Klein, who is Bob's manager. And then we're just paying a tribute to Avalanche Bob. He passed away. And again, I'm going to say this. This guy, look, did he drive me nuts? Yeah, he did. I'll admit it. Guy drove me nuts sometimes. I'm trying to start the show and he calls with his own thing and he just steamrolls me right out of the box. There'd be times I wouldn't know what to do for 15 minutes of my own show. I had to recalibrate early because he just called and did his own thing. But if I didn't like it, he just wouldn't have been on the air. I liked him. I liked the guy. I liked that he was he had his singular vision and sense of purpose and did what he wanted to do. And he called with his thing and did it. And he kept making stuff. I'm always going to side with the person that makes stuff. Always. I mean, look, AP Mike's putting his thing out, whatever the, what's the last thing he put out? The calendar? No, he put that dumb recording. Oh, it wasn't dumb. It was actually sweet. He put that thing out. He put that thing out where he's doing the AP Mike on Broadway, which is so touching. And then he put a calendar out, which he made a pile of money on. The money he made, I tell you guys, if you only knew the money he made on that calendar, your heads would spin. But He's doing. He's expressing himself, Mike. Mike, you express yourself.
Thank you, Tom.
I give you credit.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yes.
You got to step it up.
I know, right?
You got to step it up. You got stuff to say. Start saying it, buddy.
You're Tom. I'm not offended. I'm inspired.
Well, thank good. You. Yeah, good. Owen.
Yeah.
What do you got? You got a movie coming out?
I got a movie.
How is it?
It's good. Bob's in it.
Bob's in it. See?
Yep.
He always talked about that movie he was in.
He did.
Yeah.
He was
I told him not to.
He was so proud of it. No, I could tell. Barked. I could tell he wasn't allowed to talk about it.
And he brought it up every call.
Yeah, he brought it up every single call.
Yeah.
So, when's this movie come out?
Should be next year.
Next year. Well, I'd hope it's next year.
Yeah.
Should be. What, are you going to wait till 2021?
No, no. Late 2020.
We had a friend, I heard you met up with a mutual friend of mine today, of ours.
Oh, Ronnie?
Ronnie.
Ronnie reached out to you?
I talk to Ronnie all the time. Owen.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Great
guy. When I talk about good time, my good time is when I text with Ronnie.
He's a great texter.
Ronnie Bronstein, co-writer of Good Time and Uncut Gems.
Oh.
If the movie you request it is Uncut Gems, press 1.
And right? If the movie credit.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give this away. There's not much to give away. Bob Seen is at a funeral. We shot two guys in case Bob didn't work out. That are giving eulogies.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just let Bob go and make up what he thought was this guy's eulogy.
Okay.
Which was great.
I can't wait.
But, you know, I was just trying to... You know, the movie has a lot of odd, you know, Safdie-esque characters in it.
Sure.
And Bob is one of them. But that was... I was trying to figure out who was at the funeral, and he's like... It has to be a freak. It has to be one of your guys. It has to be Avalanche Bob. Like, get Avalanche Bob in there. So
yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of unmanageable, and I'm his manager.
And you're his manager. He's literally.
Yeah, you go. If you're in Chicago, by all means, go. It's
Wait, what? Hold on. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm his manager. He's unmanageable.
He's unmanageable. Yeah. But you managed to get him in the movie. You directed this movie?
I directed it. Wrote it.
And wrote it.
Honey, yep.
So it's like a tour de force.
It's a tour de force.
You do anything else on it? Craft service?
Little craft service. Little editing. Little editing, yep.
What do you think about this for an idea for a movie?
Hit me.
AP Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just follow this guy around.
Mm.
We don't even tell him we're doing it. Right?
Yeah. This is a Ronnie movie. It sounds like something that Ronnie...
We don't even tell him. Wait, can he hear this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking about this, but I don't know if it's a good idea, Tom. I mean, there are days on end I don't leave my apartment.
Oh, no, we'll be in there. We're going to wire this thing.
Not a lot happening.
We're actually going to do a time lapse out the window to show day turning into night.
Yeah, like one of those things when they show like an animal rotting in fast motion. Let's listen to this first call. This is this call that is a fan favorite, and then we will... talk more about Avalanche Bob. Here is the call that Pat and Mike both think is his best call. Let's take a listen.
We have fun. We have a good time wherever we go. That's where the party is. Wherever we go, that's where the party is. Remember that. Best show. Hi. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
This is Bob. How are you, Bob?
Avalanche Bob! Look who it is.
I'm doing great, Tom. Okay. I understand you did a video for Frankie Cosmos, right?
I did do a video for Frankie Cosmos.
Oh, you know, Owen is in my band, my drummer, and he is also my producer of my album.
That's what I heard. I heard we share band.
Yeah,
members.
And things are really going good, and... I was really surprised. It came out great, right?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very happy.
How's everything with you, Tom?
Oh, I'm well. I'm well. No complaints. How about with you? What's going on with you?
I'm doing good, Tom. I'm getting a promotion about my music. Some pretty big people are interested in it. It's being played on KXRA in Los Angeles. It's played on the WEBN radio. And I'm hoping to get more out there. And I'm thanking you for everything you've done for me. And
It's my. And now, what's the deal with this this snowboard music? Have you found an increase in people being interested in snowboarding?
Yeah, Tom, I'm telling you, this thing is going to be big. It's just beginning. People are talking about it now. I'm trying to get this one company, Keon Gravity, interested in it. I'm trying to get a commercial for Red Bull that I think would be fit. My commercial for Red Bull is much better than the one they did for Do with the snowboarding.
Really?
It's much better. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, of course.
I'll use the name Red Bull. I'll just do the commercial.
Okay.
Red Bull. Rock on your board, rock on Robo, rock on Robo, rock on this. A yodel punkin' board is rockin' with Robo, roll punkin' board is rockin' on this. Yeah, Robo's cool, no borders are cool. Red Bull, heck, no borders are hip. Come on, people, rock on with Robo, rock on with Robo, rock on Olivia, yeah, rock on your board. Rock on with Red Bull, rock on with Red Bull, rock on this. A yodel punkin' board is rockin' with Red Bull. Super border borders, they can rock on the lady, you're rockin' to the punk bop, then yeah. Rockin' on that. Yeah, don't be a gip, drop a bobble on your ribs.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, I think they're suing them not to look at this commercial because they'd be throwing so many bottles. One guy said they could get a skid of Red Bull.
It's their loss. If they don't want that, it's their loss.
I'm telling you, Tom, and Keon Gravity, I put a thing in there for Burton Snowboards. There's a very, very big person watching my music tonight, and I don't want to say who it is, but he's a very important person. Mm-hmm. And things are really starting to move.
Hold on. A very important person is watching your music, and you can't tell me who it is?
No, because, he's a person that's a leader of a country, all right?
A leader of what country? Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Hold on. I feel like I'm involved in some sort of... I feel like I'm over my head now. Seems.
Yeah.
So there's a chance, because I'm going to say this, and I don't know how you feel about this. AP Mike is starting to do songs about parasailing.
What was that?
He does songs. Parasailing is this kind of like thing you do on a surfboard. And Mike wants to try to do, he wants to know if you'll license the franchise so he can start doing rockabilly parasailing songs.
Yeah, rockabilly parasail, cool.
And
yeah.
I told Mike?
Rock to the parasail, rock to the rockabilly, rock to the parasail, rockabilly, rock to the parasail, rock.
You know what I told Mike? I said, Mike, stop being so stupid. I yelled at him. I hit him.
Tom, you know what? Yeah. The name snowboarder did not go for this thing anymore.
Okay.
These guys are superboarders.
Superboarders,
yeah. I've got a stuff on my Twitter about, I got a lot of things going on, about Twitter. Superboarders, man. The Olympics, my God, Tom. I'm telling you, this thing is only beginning, Tom, and I thank you for everything you've done for me.
And I thank you for everything you've done for me.
No, I haven't done nothing, but I'm going to do something for you.
You've entertained.
Believe me, you are one of the best. And I'm just a mirror.
My friend, I'm just a mirror. Avalanche Bob, I'm just a mirror. If you say I'm the best, I'm just a mirror reflecting back because you're the best.
No, you're no reflection. You are the mirror. You're the best, man. And I'm sorry if I bugged you a couple of times.
I didn't mean to do that. Look, you didn't bug me. I try to keep the show moving. I got to keep the show lively here. I got to keep the show lit, but you're good. You're good. We figure it all out, my friend. And you,
yeah.
Look, don't worry. We figure it all out. You're here. You're on the show. Everybody's happy.
Good. Because, as I said, Tom, what I've done, I put things on Twitter now. I've got, maybe check out my Twitter thing. You'll find out who's watching me if you want to go to, Avalanche Bob at Twitter or Robert Kirby at Twitter.
Okay.
And, you'll find, some pretty interesting things I put on there and, about the Superboard Revolution, because I really think it is, that's more than snowboarding. They're superboarders.
All right. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. And, so, maybe I'll give you a call next week and
we'll talk about other things. We'll see.
Is that all right?
All right. You give a call next week.
All right. Okay.
Put him through, Mike. Mike.
Yeah.
You put him through next week, Mike. You hear me? And if you don't, I'm going to hit you again.
Yeah. You want to hear a little song, Tom?
Sure.
A funny song?
A quick funny song.
Well, I can do it two ways. I can do it risque, or I can do it, risque.
When you say risque, what are you talking about? Dirty words?
It's double meaning.
Not dirty words, though.
No, not really. I'll just do it the straight way, okay?
Do the body version, but you're not talking about F and S and all that stuff.
Oh,
right?
No. I'm talking about something with a T, okay?
Okay, because I'm going to
You can take it from there.
Mike came in here last week. He
started. Want to hear it?
No, let me just tell you this one thing. Mike comes in here. He's like, I want to tell you a song. And Mike starts telling me some song. F this, F that. And suddenly I'm like, what is it? What are you doing? He's like, this effing bleep. He's like, it's a toilet mouth. Go ahead, Bob. Let's hear it.
Well, I was taking a walk early one morning when I heard a voice calling on me. Honey, come get my pussy down. It's tucked up in a tree. I turned around to see who it was. Who do you think I should see? A beautiful girl in a black negligee standing under a tree. Yeah, she said, I'm a poor little girl all alone in the world. I just moved in the house next door. I ran outside to get my pussy some milk. Got my pussy ran out the door. Well, I climbed up the tree and a pussy scared me. Oh, man, it was another sign.
I came
crashing down to the ground. She said, is my pussy all right?
I went home, I was aching my head right to my toes, and I heard out the window on my tub's almost flow.
She was standing with a towel wrapped around. Man, I almost took my breath away. And in that dance we took the
girls,
I heard that chick start to say,
okay.
She said, I'm a poor little girl all alone in the world. I was just getting ready to take my bath when my tub started to overflow, and now I'm in a dress. Well, I think that I stopped that flood. I was just about ready to leave that girl. Well, I was soaking wet and tired and mean when she said I got a broken washing machine. Well, I went home. I was aching all over from my head right to my toes. And I went back and I rocked through the window. Came a man that was 6 feet tall. Well, he grabbed me by the neck and he threw me out the door. And I don't know what I'm gonna do. And she said I was all alone and my husband just came back, and I want to wait till the con to
destiny
you.
Is a rising sun.
Great song.
No, I messed it up, Tom. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. It's great stuff.
No, I apologize.
No, don't worry. That was great. It was a home run.
I messed the word up.
No, you didn't mess anything up. It was a home run. All right, thank you. Thank
you,
Bob. All right. Hold on. Wait 1 second. Somebody else wants to say something.
Make my final stand.
1 more second.
It's why they call me bad company. But I can deny.
Oh. I don't know what to do anymore. It went from being... we get it to, well, this is new to, I don't want this to, maybe I do want this to, nah, I don't want this. To, are you sure you don't want this? To, yeah, I'm sure. I don't want this. Best show, hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Tom.
When I was working with the thing with the governor tree, and then a girl came out in a towel.
He's right. Avalanche Bob, the APB, died a week and a half ago, or a week or so ago. He was a caller, called the show many weeks, and he was a real character, and he was a funny guy, really trying to do his thing, going for it, and we honor him tonight. Rest in peace, Avalanche Bob, Robert Cribby. And over, I'm in Los Angeles here at the luxurious Earwolf Studios. And thanks again to Earwolf for allowing us to use their facilities. Clearly, they've not heard the things I say about them on the show. We have Devin here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Thanks for doing this, Devin. Devin's a good guy.
My pleasure.
And, back in New Jersey, we have AP Mike, Pat Byrne, and our guest, Owen Klein, who was Avalanche Bob's manager and producer. Now, Mike.
Yeah.
You like that call, huh?
It was a good one.
Yeah.
Like I said, you never knew where he was going to go. And in that one, he took a real detour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, lightly.
What was he talking about? What would he? Me? What was I talking about? I'm more perplexed by me on these things. I'm saying I'm going to hit you. I'm saying you came in cursing. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Bob had that effect on people.
Yeah. He, why would somebody say a mean thing on Twitter?
Twitter's the worst.
Really is. They just said a mean thing.
Yeah. We've been trying to.
People are mean. Mean.
Quiet people on there. We're being respectful of Bob and, his whole life.
Look,
he added so much to the show, and that's
I
what
like
we're
the
doing
guy.
Tonight.
He,
yeah.
Look, he gave me a headache some weeks. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
Not going to scrub history. It's clear he drove me up the wall. That was the dynamic. You think I didn't know that? You think I'm a spectator to my own dynamic? I like the guy. I like him.
There was a call where he actually opened with the topic, stuck with the topic, and I think let you drive and barely promoted himself, and it was when he called the Night of a Thousand Pardos.
Okay.
Best show, hi.
It's Saturday Night Live with your host, Tom Chaplin. I'm featuring AP Mike, Pat Byrne, Jason Gore, and the special guest performers, Frankie Cosmos, with his Saturday Night Band. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Chaplin!
See, now there you go. That's how we start this off. Thank you, Avalanche Bob.
How are you, Tom?
Oh, you're full of
I'm
life.
Rocking, baby.
Look
how
at
you doing?
You sound rested.
Yeah, things are going good, Tom.
Yeah, good. How'd the thing go? The song?
No, I think it's going to be Saturday night. I'm not sure of all the details at a place called Wonders of Nature in Brooklyn.
Wonders of Nature? What's that?
I'm not sure of all the details yet.
Yeah, well, is it? Is it the interview or a movie?
It's a club.
A club.
We're doing a set.
You're doing a set. Wonders of Nature.
Mm-hmm.
I might have to send out AP Mike to that one. Mike?
The same guy had the case up.
Mike, you're going out. You got to go to Wonders of Nature. The cake shop. The former owner of the cake shop. You go there. And check it out. Who else is on the bill, Avalanche Bob?
I think it was... I haven't got the name right now. It's two good.
Who cares?
Two groups. You can check it out. Yeah. Just go to Wonders of Nature, and you'll find the two groups. We weren't advertised because we were late booking.
Yeah, but you're going to steal the show. They don't know what they got. They don't know what's coming.
Tom, we're starting the super board revolution, and I'm telling you, Tom, there's no stopping this thing. It's going to be big. I think it's going to be as big as the WWE. It's going that big.
As big as the WWE.
And you're part of it, Tom.
And I'm a part of it, whether I want to be
you
or
certainly
not.
Certainly are. You and Kid Chris and all the people that have helped me.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait till we,
Yeah. Tom, yeah. Thank you for everything.
Of course.
And I will talk to you. I don't want to hold you up.
Have a great night. Thank you. You have a great night, too. There we go. Avalanche Bob checking with maybe his best call. Maybe his best call to date.
I tried to rein him in, get him on topic.
You tried, yeah. Mike.
It was difficult, I admit, you know, but occasionally I could get him on topic.
Yeah, look, Owen was trying to wrangle him in terms of getting him to do live shows and putting a record out.
Yeah,
all this
God
stuff.
Bless you.
What were some of the challenges? Right, tell us some. Give me a good Bob story, Owen.
Good Bob story? Oh, man, there are so many.
Well, give me one.
Okay.
What kind of food did he like?
I have no, you know, he bad food, just bad food. I don't know. I don't think he ate very well. But I can tell you he loved, he took a lot of, you know what's interesting? The one thing that he really helped me with, he had an insane recipe for whenever I was sick and had a really sore throat. I would call him and actually get this recipe for him with cayenne pepper, and it was like 10 other things. It was like a voodoo witch doctor recipe, and it always worked. It cleared my throat right away.
Really?
Good story, but yeah.
I'd love to hear the ingredients sometime.
I've written them down. I can
all
give
right.
them to you.
Yeah.
Don't give them to Pat.
Okay.
You give it to me, and I'll give him one ingredient at a time based on performance.
But I was lucky enough to meet Bob the same day I met Owen, which was at the cake shop.
That's right.
Through friend of the show, Andy, who ran the cake shop and did all the booking and was a huge friend of Tom, but also he had an ear just for, you know, kind of what was cool, what was weird, what was strange, what was odd. He was a great booker in that sense for Cake Shop, but was also just kind of like, you know, he knew Bob was performing. I guess he knew you as well. And he the last week of the Cake Shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the last time my band was able to perform there. He loved our band because we were also kind of like, you know, I don't want to use the word gimmick, but I said it, you know, like it was, theatrical, goofy, you know, we're all playing characters kind of on stage
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And Andy loved that. And so he had us on this show. It was an early show. He was like, an Avalanche Bob is playing. And I was like, what? And I was so excited. And I was able to catch the set. And it was actually like great. I think I remember telling you, Tom, it was like, all the musicians were great. Like the music was great. And actually Bob was pretty great too. And Andy was doing this thing where he was also filming it.
Mm-hmm.
And he filmed everybody doing like one part with like a flashlight on them throughout the cake shop, and he would like bring the camera around. So eventually, I hope that footage comes out because that was the same night, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was like a one take kind of thing.
Yes.
Every band played, and it was kind of like a mise en scène, one shot.
Yes, it was all one take. Started at the top of the cake shop floor. It was two floors. So then when he got to the basement,
was that the very last cake shop show?
I think it was the last few days.
Yeah.
It was the last day that he had, like, unbooked. So he booked all his friends who did weird stuff. And then at the end of this all-in-one take last shot, at the end, the stage in the basement, the camera made it there, and you guys were playing. And that was and then you guys played a full set from there, I think.
I think we did.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of brilliant and fun, and Bob couldn't have been nicer. At the end, I met him. I took a picture. To this day, I think I'm the only crew member that met him, right?
Yeah.
He was super, as I mentioned earlier, you know, happy, energetic, and also just very present and, you know, couldn't have been happier to meet me and knew that I was from the best show and just super optimistic and a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. You got to hold on to that spirit in life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hold on to it.
I saw a post that he helped his sister out. I guess she was ill.
Okay.
And basically helped her go through that. I thought that was a real nice personal.
He seemed like a good sort. Mm-hmm. And before, Owen, do you have another Bob story other than what food he would eat?
Well, you just reminded me. It's not
got knocked off target
thing.
On that one.
This isn't a very pleasant thing, but I remember that Bob, this is a little more in Mike's vein of humor, that Bob's bed at his house, which I've been to, was a hospital bed that his sister passed away in.
Okay.
It was a little grim.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. So that happened, that was the same sister he was taking care of?
Yeah.
Wow. So that happened within the last few years?
I guess so. So that's my great Bob story.
Yeah. Well, that's look
a good bed, you know. Why?
Yeah.
Why
and that? Also, it's a bed. It works.
Yeah.
What was his apartment like?
Oh boy. I think it, you know. Well, we actually. We shot in it
for the movie.
For the movie.
Is that
one
make
of
it?
The pair? One of the no, but one of the characters kind of lives a grim existence, and we used his apartment for that, and we actually, I thought it would be a cheap location because Bob had it.
Right.
It ended up being one of the more expensive locations because we had to do a cleaning.
Oh.
And I do remember him, it was crawling with all sorts of bugs, but he was convinced that he didn't have bed bugs, and they went and checked it.
Oh, boy.
And he called me and said, yeah, they came through, man, no bed bugs, nothing else. And then I got the report, and there was plenty of other stuff, but he just seemed to glaze over that. So optimism all the way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he made his record, came out in 2017.
That's right.
2017.
Oh, and I'm going to try to do a press of the complete Avalanche Bob.
That would be great.
A true vanity pressing.
Yes.
Well, that'd be
no
great.
No Power Productions.
That'd be sweet.
Double set.
Yeah.
You know.
And he always talked about this Red Bull commercial he was pursuing.
Yeah, he did.
Where did that come from? Was there something that put that on his mind?
Well, I think Red Bull had an association with the snowboarding, whatever the snowboarding league is. I think they were sponsors. So I think Sean White would drink Red Bull, and it was a snowboarding thing.
So then he wanted a piece of the action with it.
Oh, yeah.
Did he watch snowboarding stuff on television, and was he up to date on that stuff?
I don't think he's ever even been on a slope. I mean, I did ask him
about that. Yeah, I mean, it seemed quite clear that he'd never gone snowboarding.
Yeah. I think it was just arbitrary. I think he just picked something out of a hat, kind of.
He just kind of like the energy of it or whatever that he
exactly the spirit.
But
yeah.
he mentioned
the spirit of it.
He mentioned the snowboard Burton guy who apparently just passed away, so he kind of knew something. I thought maybe he just latched onto it as like a sort of update on the Beach Boys, you know, with the surfing. So he was trying to do the Beach Boys thing with snowboarding.
He would always talk about young olders was his expression for it. He called himself a young older.
And he mentions that in his final call with me and Mike.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which we will hear to end the show. Naturally, once again, I get upstaged.
Well, there's also the final call
with
you, Tom.
What's that? Oh, no, we don't want to do that one. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm literally doing what I complained about is I'm making about myself. No, look, I'm glad he called you guys and had a good conversation with him. Yeah. And look, he did a thing. He was on Jimmy Kimmel once, and I don't like. That's one of those things. It's like that bummed me out. His Jimmy Kimmel appearance.
It's grim.
Because he went on and he was doing his thing, and they clearly were. He was like a punchline on there for them. Like, look at the weirdo, and it's just like, at what point? At what point is it better to be some sort of just like person who isn't the weirdo? You know what I mean? Why is it better to be the one who goes, oh, look at that weirdo. I'm not weird like that. Stop it. I watch that Jimmy Kimmel thing and they're laughing and hooting it up. I don't like it. Thumbs down.
Spiritually ugly. Did Bob ever call Howard Stern? Owen?
No. No. They would have liked him. Mm-hmm. But in the wrong way. No, I don't know. I think Howard has respect for Packers, you know.
Yeah, he had some respect for people that you know, it was not similar to Jimmy Kimmel in the sense that, you know, he would sometimes, you know, stand up for them too.
Yeah,
can you imagine this guy? He's doing crank yankers. What? That's better? Crank yankers? That's you putting your best foot forward? Crank yankers. So you're pranking a nursing home with a puppet on your hand.
Excuse me, do you know where I can find some toothpaste?
And they're like, hey, I'm trying to, can I take care of the patients here?
No, let me.
That's better.
It's pussy tree humor. You know, if you like the crew.
I don't, stuff. Actually. I really don't know what you mean. I could not be more confused.
Well, it's just dirty, you know, that's just the Jimmy Kimmel stamp is just crude humor.
But it's got a meanness
like
to it. It's got a meaning. I just want people to know. Look, I would hope that these calls are a testament to me being nice to this guy.
They are.
They're
they
11
are.
Minutes long. Some of them are 11 minutes long. I like the guy. But I hear myself on these things, I'm just like.
But that's really the thing with these guys, and I've actually had experience with a couple of people like this where, you know, you give them, you know, a little bit of attention and no one's given them that before.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I wasn't laughing at the guy. I thought he was a New York City weirdo just doing his thing. I get it. I'm into it.
A serious note.
What do you think I'm doing? You think this is anything? I did a free radio show for 17 years. Did that make sense? No, I'm a weirdo. I get it. What do you want? A serious note? What, you found some more calendars?
I think a lot of older people are lonely.
Yeah.
And this was a platform. I hate that word. What's a better word?
You know what?
It was somebody you could talk to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah.
I like it.
We
I
haven't
like
said
it.
This yet.
Go ahead.
Bob was an outsider artist.
Pretty much.
And that is a term that, you know, can also be reserved for people like Daniel Johnson.
Yeah. And I think he had as dense of a sort of inner world, a rich inner world.
Right.
Any of those guys.
Yeah. Who'd you rather hang out with? Harmony Korine? Or Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. You ever watch when Harmony Korine's on Letterman and he's doing his thing and Letterman's being like, oh, what a weirdo. Like, it's like, but who are you pandering to? Some boring people?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
This guy's an oddball. God bless the oddballs. That's what I says. And Owen, absolutely. Seriously though, think about AP Mike, what can we do with him? This is a money opportunity sitting right on the table. Right? What should we do with him? Hook cameras up everywhere? Surreptitiously film him?
How about a Twitch feed?
We could strap a GoPro to his head.
Yeah, strap a GoPro to his head. How's that? You mind that, Mike?
No, I'm still game for Naked too.
All right. For Naked 2, that's right. That was the sequel to the Mike Lee
That's the
movie.
best idea I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Naked Part 2.
Naked 2. Less sexual assault in this one than the first one.
Yeah.
I like how that was in the movie. It's just like, movie's kind of wildly gross. But it was the time, was it? Wait, when was that ever okay? The time could have been the year 1200 and it wasn't, it was a horrifying crime. Eh, you can't put something like that in a movie now. Yeah, you can't. It's a crime? Celebrating an assault?
I don't think it was celebrating it, Tom.
Mike, I'm just letting people know. When we revive Naked, the Naked reboot,
uh-huh.
And you walking around Bayonne with your trench coat on.
Are there any calls, Tom?
No, we have a hard out here. Earwolf was generous enough to let us do this, but we have a hard out. So what I'm going to do, I want to say, final thoughts over there in Jersey? Final thoughts?
Yeah, I want to say that this isn't the final thought, and that we will always keep Bob alive through this show, as long as this show is a show. And, you know, it doesn't end here. The conversation keeps going. If people want, you know, people can always call in about Bob, and as far as I'm concerned, I hope that's likewise for you guys.
Yeah, that's nice of you to say. That's good.
Yeah, look,
at first I was offended that you said my final thought's not a final thought, but then you pulled. No, you pulled it around, Pat.
And the best show for putting this guy through. And you know, it was really moving this week. Seeing it was at least 300 tweets and Facebook things. Is all these people coming out being like, oh God. And I'm sure half of these people were tortured by the actual calls. But now in hindsight, we miss this guy.
Yeah, you miss him. I miss him.
Yeah.
Anything, Mike?
Well, like I said, I'm holding out hope. You know, I may be in a minority here. But until I see an obituary,
you might fall into masses.
You know, right, if I see that 718 flash up there.
Mm-hmm.
What if he just came through masses with a snowboard? Like
I'm going to put him through.
A huge, you know, the door opens, place floods with snow.
Mike's doing masses Bayonne rules on this.
Yeah. Now, what's
that? You're online or in an obituary in a Jersey Journal.
I say, Avalanche Bob, rest in peace. God bless the weirdos. You got a weirdo in your life. You know a weirdo making stuff that is left to center, whatever you want to call it. You celebrate it. You support it. You cheer them on. Enjoy it. And you want to be weird? You feel like you're in your life and you want to be weirder than you are right now? Go be weird. What are you waiting for? That's what I say.
Live your life like Avalanche Bob.
Thank you, Owen. Now, what should we play on the... I'm going to play the final call, and then we will play his music, a song by him. What should we play? Owen, do you have a favorite from the album?
A favorite from the album? Let me think here. Probably...
Punk in the Snow?
Punk in the Snow is pretty good.
Eternity.
Eternity is pretty... That's a good one.
Well, let's go out on that. We'll play the final call, and then we'll play Eternity from Avalanche Bob. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Owen Klein for coming down, and to Pat and Jason for working on pulling the clips. And thanks to AP Mike, and thanks to Earwolf for their generosity. And I appreciate it. And thank you, Devin, for your talent and time. And now let's listen to Eternity by Avalanche. No, what should we'll play the final clip first, then we'll play Eternity. Then that's it. And thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Final call, where is it? Final call, here we go.
We got your snowboard. Homeboard music's all American music. Snowboard music's all American music. We got the music. We got your snowboard, yeah. Oh, rap was nice to have around. But now rap is starting to get me down. I think it's time we got a new dance.
A little vaudeville in here.
We got a band now. We got the music. We got the snowboard. We got the music. We got the snowboard. We got the music. We got the snowboard. Snowboard music's all American music. Snowboard music's all American music. Homeboard music's all American music. Wow! Yeah! It's so nice to have a new sound. Yeah, there's a new sound when it kicks around. There's a sound that's gonna sweep the USA. Yeah, the band's gonna blow everybody away, yeah! We got the music, we got the snowboard, we got the music, we got the superboarders. Yeah, I'm the best.
Thanks, guys, for everything you've done. Did you like that song?
Yeah, sure did.
Great. Okay, there's a lot more coming. There's a couple albums coming. I hope to get a new Christmas album next year. And I'm doing what God called me to do. That's all, you know?
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do.
That's all.
Amen, brother.
So I take the bows and rock with the man, you know?
Yeah. Well, we take appreciate the
what? I'm doing it to inspire people, man, and show them that, you know, I don't think the word today, I think there should be a new word, older. Older, really not the word for today. There's young older, maybe there's older, the young older to take care of the old older. In fact, that's in one of my Broadway musicals. I got an idea, Super Border from Hell. But, I mean, the Snowboarder from Hell. But, Pat, thanks. This is Pat, right?
Yes, Pat and Mike.
Yeah, guys.
You're only...
Maybe I'll call Tom next week and you got a happy Halloween.
There we go.
Cheers to you, buddy.
Sunshine and your moonlight too.